Father, bless now as we open Thy Word, as we study this important subject. We've talked about the deceptions this past few nights. We've talked about how the devil is working to deceive us. And we pray now as we open the Bible that we can understand the thus saith the Lord, as the same Holy Spirit will guide us into truth that led the men of old to write the Scriptures. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. This subject tonight could have several different titles. Counterfeit gospel. Don't be anathema, which the word anathema means to not be accursed or accursed. And so it could have several different titles. Which translation of the Bible do you use? Which translation is best? But we're going to go into God's Word tonight and find out some very important things about the Bible. You know, the statement is often made, I cannot understand the Bible, the King James is hard to understand. So I use the Living Bible or the American Standard or the Revised Version, Revised Standard, the New English Bible or the New International, or you may choose another that is easy for you to understand. But I have found that those people who begin studying the Bible, become new Christians and begin studying the Bible and begin with the King James, find it easy to understand the King James. So it really depends on the translation or version that you begin with, that you really stay with. In your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1. I want you to notice what God says about His Word. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy is of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now I want you to notice what God is saying here. He first of all says that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Then He says that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit led these men to write God's Word. Now, some people believe that the Holy Spirit led these men to put down the exact Word that God gave them. Now, I believe that these men of God wrote as the Holy Spirit led them. I believe that the whole Bible is inspired from Genesis through to Revelation. But a lot of the writings in the Bible were put down in the way that these men saw it in vision or ever how God led them. But it is God's Word. It is God's Word. Then we find another verse over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. And it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now what the Bible is saying here is that the only way you can understand a thus saith the Lord is that Holy Spirit that led the men of God to write the Scriptures, that Holy Spirit leads you to understand. That's the only way. And that's why before we open the Bible, we should always pray, Father, I pray that You will direct me and guide me and help me to understand Your Word. And when you pray that prayer, the Holy Spirit, that same Holy Spirit, will guide you into a thus saith the Lord. The Bible is clear. The Holy Spirit is more than willing to teach us God's Word. The devil has been working hard in these last days to deceive mankind any way that he can. I'm going to show you tonight how Satan has planned a mighty deception to deceive the world. Over in the book of Galatians, look at chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, beginning with verse 6. Galatians chapter 1, beginning with verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Paul was saying that there was another gospel being preached, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be anathema, accursed. So if someone comes around or even an angel comes preaching another gospel than what is in God's Word, He's cursed, the Bible tells us. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'd like for you to look at verse 3 and 4. Because here it tells us, it says, "For if he that cometh," verse 4, "preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him." And then verse 3 talks about how the devil deceived Eve and so forth. And then we find in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, how in the last days people would come trying to deceive people through different ways. Now I must say tonight that many of the books called a Bible, written after 1798, is a type of deception to deceive mankind. Now I've got to back that statement up. I say it, so now I've got to back it up. You see, it was 1798 that started the time of the end. It was after 1798 that Rome started its last deception to unite all churches. It was after 1798 that the churches said there is nothing wrong with Rome. It was the 1970s the Protestant churches said we can worship together with Catholics, and they are worshiping together. It is the 1980s in which the Pope has had Mass in Washington, D.C. It's 1984 when the United States of America has sent an ambassador to the Vatican. Prophecy has been fulfilled before our very eyes. So the large majority of Christians today see nothing wrong with Catholicism. But the true reformers, they see something wrong with Catholicism. God's reformers, God's Protestants, those who protest are still in the land tonight to protest. From my study of God's Word, I have found that Satan will use Bible versions to unite the churches. Now, I want you to understand tonight that my main study was in the Bible, in the version, the Revised Version, written in the late 1800s. But I have found from studying the other versions of the Bible that the majority of them follow the Revised Version instead of the King James. And I'm going to prove it tonight from God's Word. The King James was written 1611, right in the heart of the Dark Ages, the Reformation, right in the midst of the great time when men of God were standing up for that which was right, by Protestants who were true Protestants. Remember, the name Protestant means one who protests against Rome. Now remember what we said about 1798, because this is very important. It was that year the Pope was taken prisoner, according to Revelation 13, and his deadly wound was healed and the world wandered after him. It was after 1798 the Protestants started holding hands with Catholicism, and Satan started using new methods to deceive the world. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn with me to the book of Daniel 7, verse 21. We studied this last night. Daniel 7, verse 21. Daniel 7, 21 says, "I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them." A saint is one who keeps God's commandments, Revelation 14, 12. But look at verse 22. "Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High." The Bible says that the Antichrist will make war with the saints, with God's people, up to the coming of Jesus. Jesus has not come back yet. The judgment has not been turned over to the saints yet. But the Bible says that they will be persecuted up till that time. You will look during the Dark Ages, over 50 million Christians perished because they would not fall away from God's truth. Some of them thrown in the lion's den, buried alive, burned at the stake. Horrible deaths. Horrible deaths they suffered. But what about tonight? Have this deception ceased? Have the people ceased to be persecuted? Of course not. Because the Bible says in Daniel 8, 23 through 25, that in these times and days he would still destroy God's people. He would travel the world with many languages, and he would use a peace message to deceive mankind. And that is happening tonight. It was shortly after 1798 that new Bible translations came on the scene. The Revised Version, 1885. The American Standard Version, 1901. Moffat Translation, 1926. Smith Goodspeed, 1923 through 1931. Knox's Version, 1944. The Revised Standard Version, 1952. The New English Bible, 1961. The Amplified Bible, 1964. The Living Bible, 1971. The New International Version, 1973. And I could go on and on and on. The King James, now listen to me, was good enough for 274 years. But then all of a sudden, in the late 1800s, people come along and they say, hey, it's not good enough. We need something more accurate. And the whole Christian world said, great. And it seems like every time a new version comes on the market, they say it's better than the last one. Well, Psalm 119, verse 89 puts it this way. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Matthew 4:4 says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Some of you tonight will say, I cannot understand the word of God as it is in the King James Bible. Then it's time we begin to pray, Father, lead as I study, help me to understand. I like what Psalm 119, verse 130 says. It says that even the simple-minded can understand the word of God. So that means that John Earnhardt can understand. Praise the Lord. All I have to do, like anyone else, is ask the Holy Spirit to direct us and guide us, and the Holy Spirit will help us to understand God's Word. During the Dark Ages, the papal power worked hard to destroy the Word of God. They worked hard. This is why that in 1609... In the year 1609, just 2 years before the King James Version came on the market, I should say, that they had a new translation, the Catholics did, called the Douay Version. Just 2 years, 1609, just 2 years before the King James Version. Why did they do it? Their whole purpose was to counteract the power and influence of the King James. Friends, no translation has surpassed the literary beauty and popularity of the King James Version. Now, here's my question. Why is it that they would fight against God's Word back then in the 1600s and now in the 20th century stop? They have not stopped. I want to share with you tonight that Rome has been working mysteriously and secretly to deceive the world and lead people back to Roman Catholicism through versions of the Bible. The Jesuit Bible of 1582 was to get people away from the Reformation, away from the truth, to continue in Catholic doctrine. Now, let's go back to what we talked about Friday night to understand tonight's subject. What is a Jesuit? The army of the Catholic Church. Their whole purpose is to get people away from Protestantism and back into Catholicism. Let me read again tonight about the Jesuits. There are two popes. The white pope and the black pope. The white pope is the one we generally know and speak of as the pope, but the real power is in the hand of that body directed by the black pope. The black pope, which name does not refer to color, is the head of the Jesuits, an organization which, outside of God's people, is the mightiest that history has ever known. It was formed after the Reformation began and for the chief purpose of destroying the Reformation. The Jesuits said, we will capture the colleges and universities. We will gain control of instruction in law, medicine, science, education, and so weed out from all books of instruction anything injurious to Roman Catholicism. They said, we will enroll ourselves as Protestant preachers and college professors in the different Protestant faiths. Under various disguises, the Jesuits worked their way into offices of state, climbing up to be the counselors of kings and shaping the policy of nations. They established colleges for the sons of princes and nobles and schools for the common people. And the children of Protestant parents were drawn into an observance of popish rites. The Jesuit said, The end justifies the means. By this code, lying, theft, perjury, assassination were not only pardonable, but commendable when they served the interest of the church. Now, there was more to this that I found in another book that I'd like to share with you that goes on to say more about what they believe in and what they plan to do. They say, we will enroll ourselves as Protestant preachers and college professors in the different Protestant faiths. Sooner or later, we will undermine the authority of the Greek New Testament and also of those Old Testament productions which have dared to raise their heads against tradition. And thus will we undermine the Protestant Reformation. That means that they would attempt to tamper with and destroy a thus saith the Lord. I'm going to tell you about it in just a moment, because you may want to purchase one, but I don't have them to sell. I want to prove tonight that the teachings of Catholicism have sneaked into the Protestant churches right into the Seventh-day Adventist homes. From my study of Scripture, I have found that there are only two Bibles. God's Word, taken from the original tongues. You can read it for yourself in the front of the King James Version. And Satan's Word, taken from what they call the Vatican manuscripts, called the Vaticanus. There are two types of manuscripts around tonight. I would like to share with you what Catholics teach in their Bible. And the reason I'm doing that is so that no one will ever say again that you can teach our truths out of the Catholic Bible. Because I've heard that many times. At one time in our denomination, we purchased a lot of the Catholic Bibles and said, let's go to Catholics and teach them from the Catholic Bibles and lead them into the church. Very few Catholics were led into the Adventist church through that method. And I'll tell you why. We gave them Catholic Bibles, and this is what the Catholic Bibles teach. Listen, it will be necessary to cite only two texts to show why the Protestants cannot use the Douay or Catholic version in its present condition. Genesis 3:15 reads, quote, I will put enmities between thee and the woman, and thy seed and her seed. She shall crush thy head, and thou shalt lie in wait for her heel. This rendering opens the way to exalt the Virgin Mary as a redeemer instead of her divine seed. Hebrews 11:21 reads, by faith Jacob dying blessed each of the sons of Joseph, and adored the top of his rod. What is this, if it is not image worship? One has to only read the 13th chapter of Daniel in the Douay version, a chapter which does not exist in the King James, to be shocked at one of the corruptions of the Word of God, which the martyrs rejected. What becomes then of the statement that all versions are good, that all versions contain the true saying Word of God? The numerous modern Bibles translated from the Westcott and Hort text or from one built on similar principles are no better in many respects than the Douay version. I'll tell you a little more about the book in a moment. Now I'm going to share with you tonight from the Bible text, to prove how many of the versions follow the Jesuit Bible, or we should say the Roman Catholics, instead of the Word of God. That's why I wanted you to have paper and pencil, because I want you to write these texts down, go home, take off your shelf those translations or those versions of the Bible, and compare the text. It's going to take a while, but you're going to have fun in doing it. It's a real study. I'm going to begin with Luke chapter 2 and verse 23. Luke chapter 2, verse 23. I'm going to read it from the King James Version, and then I'm going to ask some of you folks that are here tonight with the other versions of the Bible to read a few from those. All right, I'm going to read it from the King James. It's in the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 33. And this is what it says. Chapter 2, Chapter 2, verse 33. Chapter 2 of Luke, verse 33. Luke 2, verse 33. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Now, who has an NIV? Would you read it for me, brother? Read it loud.
The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him.
Okay. NIV says the son or the boy's father and mother marveled. The King James, I want you to notice what the King James says. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Do you see any difference? What's the difference?
They just called him Joseph in this one, and they call him father, but he's not Jesus' father.
Very good point. Now somebody says, now that's minor. Most of the other translations call him father. The King James just calls him Joseph. You see, Jesus did not have an earthly father. He was born of the Holy Ghost, praise the Lord. Born of the Holy Ghost. Now somebody says, John, that's a minor point. It may be minor to some people, but at the same time, it's important because it's the Word of God. Now let's go to another verse. You can write this one down. Some of these I'm going to skip over. I'm just going to give you the text so you can write it down and look it up later. In the book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 8. Luke 4, verse 8. Get thee behind me, Satan, was omitted in the translations because Jesus Christ used the same expression later to Peter in Matthew 16, 23. The papal corruptors did not wish Peter and Satan to stand on the same ground, so they had it removed. That's Luke 4, verse 8. Read it for yourself when you have a chance. Now, go with me to Acts 13, 42. This one is very important to Seventh-day Adventists. Acts 13, verse 42. I'm going to read it from the King James, and then I'd like to ask you to read it from some of the other translations. Acts 13, 42. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. All right, I'd like to hear it from the NIV. Do you have it? Okay, would you read that for me, please?
As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath.
All right. Which translation do you have, Nancy?
Revised.
Would you please read it from the Revised Standard, verse 42? Do you see a change? What is the change? The Gentiles. Okay, if you folks don't mind, I'm going to let you come up and read in the mic whenever you read the text. That way everyone can hear the text. In the King James, and this is very important to Seventh-day Adventists, in the King James it says the Gentiles, the next Sabbath, were going to come and worship also. But first of all, it says, verse 42, when the Jews were going out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. This is one of those texts that I like to use when I'm teaching people that the Gentiles were keeping the Sabbath 40 years after Jesus had gone back to heaven. But in the other versions of the Bible, I cannot show that because it doesn't say Gentiles, it just says people. You see how a little change can do a lot of corruption to the Word of God. In the book of 1 Corinthians, write this down, 1 Corinthians 15, 47. 1 Corinthians 15, 47, the word Lord is omitted in the Jesuit and many of the other translations. Study it for yourself when you get home. 1 Corinthians 15, 47. The word Lord has been omitted in the Jesuit and many other translations. Now, going back to the Sabbath, in a lot of the versions of the Bible, the fourth commandment has been changed in such a sneaky way that people do not recognize it except those who want to recognize it. In a lot of the translations that you have here tonight, the fourth commandment says, talking about the seventh day of the week, it says this, it is a Sabbath of the Lord. The King James says, it is the Sabbath of the Lord. There's a big difference. By me saying it's a Sabbath of the Lord means that it's right along with the other Sabbaths that were nailed to the cross. That's why people tell us, hey, the Sabbath's been done away with. Because it was just a Sabbath, another Sabbath. Friends, the seventh day Sabbath is more than another Sabbath. It's the Sabbath that was given before man sinned, and it's the Sabbath that's going to be kept in heaven, praise the Lord. And it's the Sabbath that God rested on at creation, and it's the Sabbath He rested on at redemption. Praise the Lord for the Sabbath. That's in the book of Exodus, the fourth commandment. Exodus 28 through 11. You'll find it in most of the versions of the Bible. All right, go with me now to Ephesians chapter 3. Now, you may think I'm going on somewhat fast tonight, but I have to cover the things we need to cover tonight. Ephesians chapter 3, look at verse 9. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9. I'm going to read it from the King James, and then I'd like for you to help me with some of the other versions. Ephesians 3, verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by who?
Jesus.
By Jesus Christ. Now, Rob, which translation do you have?
New International.
New International? Read it for me, if you will. Come up front here so we can have it on the mic. Ephesians 3, verse 9.
And to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things.
All right, thank you. NIV. Oh, that's NIV. Okay. Come up and read yours, if you will, Nancy. You have which one? The Revised Standard. Ephesians 3:9.
And to make all men see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things.
What has been left out? Jesus Christ. My Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is the Creator, praise the Lord. And here the translations have removed Jesus Christ as Creator. Let's look at another one. Turn with me to the book of Colossians chapter 1. You're right close to it. Just turn over a few books. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. Let me again read it from the King James, and then we can read it from some of the other versions. Colossians 1:14 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Praise the Lord for the blood of Jesus. The NIV. Would you come up and read that one for me?
In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
There's a footnote on the bottom. Okay, the NIV has a footnote. Sometimes they do that. And what does it say?
It says, a late manuscript, redemption through His blood.
Okay, it's true. It's a late manuscript. But the later is the better when you're talking about age. I put it backwards, going the other way. Which that there says no. They would be talking about the manuscripts of earlier, later age. All right, let's read it from another one. Which one do you have? Floyd, you have one?
Yeah. Colossians what?
1:14.
This is the Phillips.
Phillips translation?
For He rescued us from the power of darkness.
For He rescued us from the power of darkness and reestablished us in the kingdom of the beloved Son. For it is by Him that we have been redeemed and have had our sins forgiven.
Okay. That one sounds not too bad. The King James puts it this way, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Many of the versions have left out through His blood. I thank the Lord for the blood of Jesus Christ. Write this one down. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. God was manifest. Other versions say, He who was, which might have been an angel or even a good man like Elijah. I praise the Lord that God was manifest in the flesh. Amen. And came to redeem us. Write this one down. Hebrews 7:21. Hebrews 7:21. After the order of Melchizedek is left out of most versions. Hebrews 7:21. Here is another one. Revelation 22:14. And the King James says, Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter through the gate into the city. Okay, you want to read it?
Which one, from the King James?
Right. Well, no.
No, I know it's from the Revised, but I'll try to revise it, but I know
what
the Revised
says. Okay, Nancy, come read it from the Revised, if you will. A very familiar text to Seventh-day Adventists. Listen to it from the Revised Standard Version.
Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gate.
Okay, blessed are they that wash their robes.
Happy are those who wash their robes.
Happy are they who wash their robes. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that may have right to the tree of life. Friends, I want to tell you something. I cannot wash my robe. Righteousness of myself is nothing. It must be the righteousness of Jesus Christ. All right? If you ever had the thought that maybe the King James may have had Catholic influence, I want you to think again. Because right in the front of the King James, it tells about the evils of popery. Did you know that? But you know something else? In the last few years, the King James Version, they have been removing it from the front. I just purchased my wife a new King James Bible just the other week. And to my amazement, they had removed the part about the evils of the Pope. The King James was written during the time of the Reformation by men who were true Protestants, and they put right in the front of the Bible the evils of popery. Maybe in your King James it may have been removed. Mine still has it. But some of them, they have removed it from them. In Revelation chapter 22, 18 and 19, it says these words, a warning to each one of us. Revelation 22, 18, 19, For I testify unto you, and to every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Brothers and sisters, we have no right to tamper with the word of God. No right whatsoever. Now, even the jots and tittles of the Bible are important. Remember I told you I did my study on the Revised Version that was written in the late 1800s. I went back, studied it out, found out who had part in putting it together, found out about what they did with it. 36,000 changes were made in the English of the King James. 6,000 in the Greek text. When Dr. Ellicott submitted the Revised Version to the Southern Convocation in 1881, he declared they had made between 8 and 9 changes in every 5 verses. About every 10 verses, 3 of these were made for critical purposes. One writer said that 9/10 of the changes were caused by Vatican manuscripts. 36,000 were made in the English of the King James, 6,000 in the Greek text. the Greek text. The Bible says in 1 John 2:21, there is no lie of the truth. 2 Timothy 3:16 says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, let's look at a few more errors from the translations. In Matthew 18, 2 and 3, it says you must be converted. The other versions, most of them, say you must turn. Friends, I believe there is a big difference. Salvation by our own effort is exalted by many of these false versions. I cannot turn myself. I must be converted. Praise the Lord. I must be born again from above. In Revelation 13, 18, the King James says that the Antichrist has a number. It is the number of a man, and his number is 666. In some of the other versions, they have changed it to 616. You try getting 616 out of a crown on the Pope that the Pope at one time wore. You cannot do it. It's in some of the translations. Not all of them, but in some of them. It's been changed to 616. I'm not sure which versions. You have to check yours to see. Revelation 13, 18. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, write it down. It says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son." The Revised Version says, "Behold, the maiden shall conceive and bear a son." A maiden. Brothers and sisters, Mary was a virgin. Not a maiden in that sense. She was a virgin, and the seed was born of the Holy Ghost. That's in the book of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Some time ago, I was studying with a young man, studying with him the doctrines of the Seventh-day Adventist Church and what the Bible teaches on Jesus being the Creator, on the health message. And a minister got a hold of this young man, and he gave him many different Bible texts, and he took them from the Living Bible. And what he did was went into detail explaining from the Living Bible how everything that I told him was wrong. And also he took some of the text from the New International Version. In Colossians, it's interesting what it says in Colossians. You know, in Colossians chapter 2, it talks about how the Sabbaths were nailed to the cross. And that Sabbath is in plural. That means that the ceremonial Sabbaths were done away with. But this is what it says in the New International Version in Colossians 2. For it says, "Christ canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ." It calls the Sabbath here a Sabbath day, the same as some of the translations put the fourth commandment, a Sabbath day. It goes together. Also here, it makes it very clear in Hebrews from the Living Bible, it says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So do not be attracted to strange new ideas. Your spiritual strength comes as a gift of God, not from ceremonial rules about eating certain foods. A method, by the way, which hasn't helped those who have tried it." Hebrews 13, 8 and 9. Well, there's more here, but this young man was convinced that the Adventist Church was wrong, not by the King James Version, but by the Living Bible and the NIV. Now, Revelation 14, 9 and 10, this one is very important. Look at it, if you will. Turn in your translations. Revelation 14, verse 9 and 10. I'm going to read it from the King James. Revelation 14, 9 and 10. "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. All right? Would you come up and read the NIV for me? Rob, would you do it this time, please? Revelation 14, verse 9 and 10.
A third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on the forehead or on the hand, he too will drink of the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. He will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb."
Okay. Do you see a change at all? What? Okay. The King James says, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. Seventh-day Adventists have always taught and believed that the mark was not a literal mark, but it was in the mind and in the hand, you know, in the way we work and labor. The other translations say, most of them say, on the hand, on the forehead. That's why our good Baptist friends are teaching that it's going to be a literal mark. Because of what the translations teach. Again, a minor point, but it could be very, very important. First Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, "For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." The Revised Version says, "For our Passover also hath been sacrificed, even Christ." The leading revisers, that's 1 Corinthians 5, 7, write it down. The leading revisers, Westcott, Hort, and Vance Smith, rejected the idea that Christ was our substitute and sacrifice. The Jehovah's Witness Bible was made up from these men. The Jehovah's Witness Bible goes right along with the other versions of the Bible and follows Catholicism instead of Protestantism. You can share it with Jehovah's Witness. Open it up, show it to them. The verses in the Bible. Now, let me read to you some letters, or letter, short letter here, written to certain one. Westcott wrote to Archbishop of Canterbury, March 4, 1890. Quote, this is what he says. "No one now, I suppose, holds that the first three chapters of Genesis, for example, give a literal history. I could never understand how anyone reading them with open eyes could think they did." Life of Westcott, Volume 2, page 69. The very man who had part in making the Revised Standard Version didn't even believe in a literal history of Genesis. Quote, he said, "I have been persuaded for many years that Mary worship and Jesus worship have very much in common in their causes and their results." Life of Hort, Volume 2, page 49-50. "I believe that Hort was working with the Catholic Church." That's what I believe, when he had part in putting the translation together. "The doctrine of the second coming has been changed." Write these verses down. Look them up later. Matthew 24:3. Revelation 1, 7, and 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. I'll read them again. Matthew 24, 3, Revelation 1, 7, and 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. Now in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, it says, "For the Lord Himself shall ascend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." When you read it in the other versions, they make a mark in between the rising of the dead and the raising up of the righteous living. That's where they get the secret rapture, because they've made a difference in the two. They do not put the two together as the King James does. Read it for yourself when you have a chance. Now, this one is very important to us. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to ask for help again tonight in reading and looking, reading these from the other versions. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I want the RIV. If you'll come up to read that one. Nancy, if you come up to read yours, I'm going to let you go fall right in line here and read these two versions of the Bible. I'm going to read it from the King James first. Listen to what it says. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. To reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. The NIV?
Okay, the NIV has a footnote too at the end.
Okay.
If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment. And the footnote reads, or unrighteousness for punishment until the day of judgment.
Okay, thank you. Revised version? Now listen closely to what she reads here and see if you see a difference.
Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trial and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment.
Purgatory. Hell is taking place now. Okay. All right, last night I made a statement about the New King James Version, about most of it being left out, 75%. I was not talking about the King James Version. I was talking about the Reader's Digest Version that came out. They call it the King James Version. It's called the Reader's Digest. That is the one that they removed 75% from it. The New King James Version that's coming on the market today, you'll find just a few little points. Most of it's pretty good. But like 2 Peter 2:9, it says that they're under punishment even now. So, brothers and sisters, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, and I believe that the wicked are going to be punished the day of judgment. Amen? Not as soon as they die. Not as soon as they die. God gave His people clean, unclean foods and made it very clear and never cleansed the unclean for food. Other versions change the meaning of Mark 7:19 by saying, "This he said, making all meats clean." That's what most of the other versions say. In Luke chapter 23, 44, 45, some of the versions make the miracle of darkness at Christ's death only an eclipse of the sun. Now, this one is important. James 5:16. I'll read it from the King James. It says, "Confess your faults one to another." James 5:16. The other versions, the majority of them, say it this way: "Confess therefore your sins one to another." Now, friends, listen. I feel there's a difference in sins and faults. I may come to you and ask you to pray for me about some of the problems I have, but I'm going to never come to you and tell you my sins. But I am going to God. This opens the door for that wicked teaching of confessing to a priest. And you'll find it in most of the versions. Now, what about the NIV? I've heard people say this is grand, this is the best on the market, it's better than the King James, do away with the King James. In just a couple of days' time, I didn't have a lot of time to do this, but I went into the NIV, comparing it with the King James, and to my amazement, just looking at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts, and a few verses in Romans, I found all of these verses that have been omitted, just taken out completely. Now, I'm not going to take the time to read all of these texts. If you'd like, after the meeting tonight, come up and you can write these down. This is just a partial list of the verses that have been omitted. There are many, many more that have been left out of the NIV.
Are many of them really relevant? I mean, are they really saying something that...
Some of them are. Such as the Trinity has been destroyed. The Trinity has been destroyed in some of these verses. You would have to go back and study these to really find. All right? Let me tell you quickly about the New King James Version. Or I should say the Reader's Digest. I keep getting those two confused. How many read the article in the Review and Herald a few weeks ago or a couple months ago about the New Reader's Digest Bible? Is it for Adventists? Oh, you don't read the review. It's an excellent article. It explains the parts that have been left out, talks about our doctrines. Again, if you would like to look at this after the meeting tonight, the New Reader's Digest Bible, and it gives people who have said, people that people really think a lot of, Pat Boone, Theological Seminary, Princeton, Marble Collegiate Church, New York City, Norman Vincent Peale, and all these different men who say, this is the best. And then it shares here in the review article how they've taken out many of the verses from this Bible. Many of the doctrines, the truths of God's Word, have been destroyed in many of these versions. The second coming, death, the Ten Commandments, the Sabbath, salvation. The doctrines that Seventh-day Adventists hold dearly have been tampered with and changed in many of the versions. The Trinity, Jesus shed blood, Jesus being our only way of salvation, righteousness of Christ, and the sanctuary. You'll be amazed that in many of the translations, Daniel 8:14 has been changed. The 2300-day Bible prophecy that we all believe in as God's people has been tampered with. The inspired Word of God, Ten Commandments, the Sabbath, body, the temple of God, the Spirit of prophecy, the second coming, baptism by immersion, the truth of Daniel and Revelation. Yes, many of our doctrinal beliefs have been tampered with, and I say tonight, God forbid. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints, 1 Corinthians 14:33. It is not those who truly love the Word of God who wish to multiply various versions, which they design shall be authorized for congregational use or exalted as authority for doctrine. Now listen closely to my next statement. I wanted this to be so clear that I wrote it out. All right? Let the many versions be used as reference books or books for study, but let us have a uniform standard version, namely the venerated King James Version. I did not go and burn all my versions. I've got them at home. But I use them as reference books or books for study, but not as thus saith the Lord. Many of the changes found in the versions, translations, rest on the sole authority of the Vatican manuscripts, called the Vaticanus from Catholic doctrine. You know what Revelation 13:8 says. You know what Revelation 17:5 says. You know what Revelation 18:4 says. It says he would go to deceive the whole world any way he can. He would attempt to do it. Now, I'm going to give you a quote from Roman Catholics. Notice what they say about the new translations, mainly the Revised Version. This is what they say, quote, "It is to us a gratification to find that in very many instances they have adopted the reading of the Catholic version and have thus, by their scholarship, confirmed the correctness of our Bible." Dr. Warfield's Collection of Opinions, Volume 2, page 21. Dublin Review, Catholic, July 1881 said, "The new version," talking about the Revised Version, "will be the death knell of Protestantism." That's what they said back then. I say it is time we stand up for the truth of God's Word. Praise the Lord. In the Great Controversy, read it for yourself, page 69. Ellen White says this. She said, "By patient, untiring labor, sometimes in the deep, dark caverns of the earth, by the light of torches, the sacred scriptures were written out, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Thus the work went on, the revealed will of God shining out like pure gold, how much brighter, clearer, and more powerful because of the trials undergone for its sake. Only those could realize who were engaged in the work. Angels from heaven surrounded these faithful workers. Satan had urged on the papal priests and prelates to bury the word of truth beneath the rubbish of error, heresy, and superstition. But in a most wonderful manner, it was preserved uncorrupted through all the ages of darkness. Praise the Lord. God has protected His word. Now, you say, well, John, I heard you quote from one of the other versions this morning. I did. And sometimes I use the other versions to use a certain text. It may be clear. But at the same time, my dear friends, I believe that God has a word and it has not changed. Amen. That God has preserved His word during the Reformation. The devil is out like a roaring lion, out to deceive anyone by any means. And one of his last deceptions is to use versions to lead people back to Rome, back to the Antichrist. Galatians 1:7-9 says, if someone comes preaching another gospel, do not believe him. Now, what are we going to do? Why am I sharing this with you tonight? I'm sharing it with you because, brothers and sisters, we as Seventh-day Adventists, reformers of the last days, carrying the Reformation forward, we must be students of this book of the Word of God. We must know the Bible in such a way that if we pick up another version or if we hear somebody preach, we know if it's a thus saith the Lord or not. Because the false doctrines are going to creep in to the church in these last days. And it's happening. It's happening. The sanctuary has been tampered with. The Sabbath has been tampered with. Our bodies being the temple of the Holy Spirit has been tampered with in these words by some people. God's holy word and the doctrines that we hold so dear have been tampered with. And I say it's time we get our feet off of God's word. In the book of John, chapter 5, verse 39. John 5, verse 39. It says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Jesus speaking. Search what? Brothers and sisters, this is a command from God. Search the Scriptures. Study the Word of God. I would like for you to take these texts that I have given to you tonight home with you. Take the King James Version, open it up. Take the other versions that you have, open them up, put them together and compare. I've only touched the surface, friends. I've only touched the surface. You can study from now to the time the Lord comes, and you will find many more changes. But I'll tell you something. We were told by the prophet of the Lord there are two doctrines that the devil is out to destroy and deceive us on. Do you know what they are? The Sabbath and the immortality of the soul. And those are two doctrines that have clearly been tampered with in these versions. I thank God for His Word. Now, I don't want you to go back to your churches and when your minister stands up and uses the NIV, you go up and say, brother, you must be a Jesuit.
And John said so.
Right, and John didn't say so. We'll put that part on tape also. If they use the NIV, you may want to share some of these verses with them. Fine. Because this thing's going through to the end. Whether they use the NIV or the King James, praise the Lord, the truth's going through. The truth's going through. I ask you tonight, in closing, I ask you to take your Bible, the Word of God, and search its precepts. Study to show yourselves approved before God. When someone asks you a question, have an answer. Not from some book you have read, but from the Word of God. Have an answer. And I'll tell you, when you give an answer from the Bible will convert and convict souls and will prepare men and women for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, We thank you so much for your word. And we pray, Father, that we will study more. We'll pray more. We'll spend time in secret, knowing more about what you would have us to do. Now, Lord, tonight bless each one of us, those who are in the valley of decision, those who have been doing other things besides studying the Bible, that you will convict us, that we will begin to study and fall in love with your word. Bless us each one here tonight. Help us not to be critical of anyone, but to love the brethren, to lift them up, so that Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, will be lifted up and all men will be drawn to Him. We glorify Thy name tonight, Father. We praise You for loving us so much. Save us now, Father, not in our sins, but from our sins. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.